know we've got baseball going on tonight. We've got softball going on tonight. You probably have a lot of things going on with your families tonight. We meet quarterly, so this is our third meeting, and then we'll have one more. Ms. Carrillo, are you recording us?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. We do record our SAC meetings. If we don't have a quorum, we don't have anything tonight that we need to vote on, but if we don't have a quorum, which means parent only in the room, then I will make sure to send out anything that needs to be voted on in the minutes. Ms. Jopling always helps us out with the minutes and gets those to me, so thank you so much for helping. And then after our meeting, I send those out to the committee. If you know anyone that's in the health field or in any of the medical fields, anything like that, that we have not captured and you would like to invite them to our SAC meeting, we would love to have them. We love to have parents. We like to have faces in our community as well. So if you see somebody that you're like, hey, is this something that you're interested in? Anything to do with school health, PE, those types of things, please invite them. And then we'll make sure that they know about future meetings. So we are in for a treat today. We have our academic coaches, three of the four of our academic coaches tonight, that are going to be sharing our health and PE curriculum with the committee. We do have one academic coach that is helping with softball, and they had to move to Natalia today because we have some issues going on with our poles here in our community, and so she had to go. So Ms. Erica Sadler is going to jump in and help us with the junior high presentation today. She's got this. And then after we hear from them, we're going to spend a little bit of time just going over the resources that we have for each campus. So we're going to go over primary, elementary, junior high, and high school, where you can just bounce around, see what we have on the website. Ms. Lingo is here today. She's our Director of Curriculum and Instruction, and she's done such a great job with her team, and I want you to see what's on the website. Under the curriculum, that you can see what your kids are learning. And so I want to make sure you have some time for that, and that will be the end of our meeting, is just that perusing the website, and then we will close if we get out early. No harm, no foul. I know you have things to do and places to go. So, all right, so academic coaches, you are up first. So Ms. Crystal Scott.
Okay, so remember, we got some little people.
Yeah.
We're talking throwing, catching, walking possibly. So the program that we do at the primary is called FARC. It stands for Sports, Play, and Active Recreation for Kids. It's evidence-based, based off the National Institute of Health, supported in research. Some of the activities are from moderate to rigorous activities, obviously promoting fitness and those motor skills and then those healthy habits. Some of the things covered in the program, obviously all the activities are super active. We have little, so it's all getting very engaging. To go over different skills like dribbling, jumping, balling, catching, swimming, striking, and balancing. All of these skills that I just said, those are peaks that kiddos need to have for K-2. next year when we get second grade, what's cool about the program that we currently have is it also has lessons for those second graders, so that we won't have to like purchase a different program. When second grade comes, it also does have lessons for those kids. The equipment that we have a ton of equipment. The program that we have came with extra equipment. We have so much stuff. It's Quick Travel does a great job of utilizing all of the equipment that we have. And then also in the lessons, if anybody wants to take a little peruse, I brought an example lesson plan. But what's really cool about the program too, depending or varying skill levels, it has different like accommodations and things for kiddos, and those inclusive strategies that it gives ideas for that person doing that too. The SPARK program ensures student engagement, including activities, obviously for those all the different physical levels, and promotes overall wellness and outcomes. And it does have 10 units in the program. Obviously that first unit is a lot about rules and structures and
you know, listening and being safe. It has an actual whole parachute unit, which is super cool. They love that one. I remember loving that one growing up. There's another unit, balancing, tumbling, catching, throwing, jumping, kicking, tapping, and there's actually a dance unit, which I thought was pretty cool. Dribbling, balling, striking, and then there's a whole unit on games. So I'll leave these here if by chance anybody wanted to see what an example lesson looks like. And then I also brought all the units covered, but that's kind of our program. Like I said, it's very straightforward. It's a really good active engagement for our little. So.
Thank you, Crystal. And Crystal Schott, can you tell them what your role is on your campus?
Oh, man. My family still doesn't understand what I do. the academic coach goes and does anything from having individual coaching conversations with teachers, paras, supporting teachers in conversations with parents, doing the RTI program, looking at data, leading a PLC with a PD, what else? Looking at, I don't know.
So curriculum. How long have you been at the primary?
This is my 10th year at the primary, my 8th year as a coach, and my 21st year as an educator. So.
Thank you, Crystal.
Thank you, Crystal.
And we will have time for the lesson plan to peruse as part of our gallery walk. And so next up, we have Elementary. So this is Ann Littleton. She's the academic coach at the elementary. And I will ask you at the end the same questions that Crystal asked.
So at the elementary campus, we use Flavor Ed. We use it for our PE and for music curriculum. It sounds very similar to Spark. Same structure. It's a digital platform for teachers and for students. It is all teacher aligned, so that is super helpful for us. There's lots of differentiation for all learners. There's a lot of adaptations within each of the lessons that teachers can use to help support kiddos. There's lots of music and videos, which for our focus trainers, they are a little corny, but so for the little kids, it's fun for them. As they get a little older, they're probably going to step it up for our age kids because they're not as engaging. But it has a lot of movement. So on the PE side, it does a lot of skill development, a lot of fitness concepts. It also incorporates within each lesson a game that goes along with it. So it promotes a lot of sportsmanship and teamwork amongst the kiddos. So we utilize a lot of that as the kids go through the PE classes. And there are also checklists to monitor. There's also a health side that covers nutrition and hygiene, which our older kids need some guidance on. And it also puts them in real life scenarios to try to get them to relate to those concepts and how it works in the real world. So,
Very good. I just saw him for a mistake so we could get to it. So Ann Littleton, what is your role at the elementary?
I am the academic coach and I do all the things that Crystal said. And all the testing coordinator stuff and all those good things. And just the person that if anybody needs something, I'll just jump in and help them.
Very good. How long have you been at the elementary?
Oh, this is my 19th year.
And then how many years have you been in education?
19.
19 and all at the elementary?
Okay.
All right.
Love it.
Both of you are also parents in the district as well.
Yes.
All right. Next up, we have Erica Sadler, who is going to be talking. Come on over, Erica.
Oh, I was going to
One note, so that you're aware of the difference between the secondary and the elementary and the primary. When we went through the adoption for our curriculum for PE, we did choose Spark and Quaver Ed, but we chose teacher-created PE for our secondary folks. In the secondary level, our kids are sometimes in athletics, and they're sometimes in PE. And so our YAG is all of the Texas Essential Knowledge and Skills for PE and for health in our PE class. So we will go over, Ms. Lingo has loaded the YAG, which are the year at a glance. We'll just look at that, but I did want you to know that Quavered, Spark, they are all programs at the primary and the elementary, but at the secondary level, they're teacher created. And so they do have to follow the TEKS. They have to make sure that they're doing all of the components of the TEKS in their instruction, but we didn't choose to spend the money on a program at the secondary level when we went through the adoption. However, for health, Ms. Jocelyn knows this because the prior SAC committee did adopt Choosing the Best as our abstinence curriculum. It does have to be a committee decision, and this committee, that was in, I don't know what year that was,
2022,
yeah, went through the process of the adoption of our health curriculum. So Ms. Dada can take it from here.
Hi, y'all. Thanks for inviting me. One of the things that I like about this program is there's one program for 6, one for 7, and one for 8. And so then that way we can, they're where they need to be. And when you, just so you know, the law changed. And so Senate Bill 12 came in, so a parent has to opt in to go ahead and say that this is what they want. And so if you look down here, the parent permission is given through the parent portal. We ran the reports right now. Well, I ran the reports again just to double check to see what it was. And there were some people, do you mind if I bring this part up?
No.
Okay. So what is
over it?
Everybody
knows now.
No. Yeah. One of the things is this. One, some parents put no, that they didn't want to talk, which is fine. Respect their wishes. But one of the things is I don't know if parents saw what they were signing, because they're like, I didn't know what that paper was about, honestly. And I get that too, because, you know, we're all going. So there are some things. I think that one of the good things about this one, it does have parent resources. It also has a book, and it also has videos. And if the parents want to, we follow this. But 2 weeks prior, we said to the next parents, this is what we're doing. And one of the things that after our conversation, I started thinking about, he's like, well, what is it about? And I go, well, let's look at it. And we did. And he's like, okay, now I get it. But I think that one of the things is this is a scary topic for sixth grade parents when it's the first one over. This is very, very sensitive. I get it. We want to support you. But this is something we need to support the kids and us. So the more that we're all together on the same page, the better it is. I will tell you this. Sixth grade has 6 sessions. 7th and 8th obviously have more because they're older. And we talked about it, Ms. Foster and I, and we're separating all the grades, boys and girls. So then that way everybody's comfortable and talking to the teachers, are you comfortable with this? Because they need to feel comfortable too. If not, well then I get that. But the videos are aligned when you look at the program. There is a yearbook and there's also a DVD and then there's a student manual. And this, choosing the way this is a sixth grade and then the other three in here, the other two. Choosing the life, this is for the 8th graders, and the path, that this is for the 7th graders. Everything from the videos, to the manual, to the teacher, and then posters, and everything. So it sets us up very well. And so, that's pretty much it, if you want to look at it.
Yes, and we will have time to look a little bit more at Choosing the Path. It is an abstinence-based curriculum. So when you hear Choosing the Best or you hear a health curriculum, they're going to say it's a sex education curriculum. We as a district chose abstinence as our base for our sex ed curriculum. It is very much related to building relationships. It teaches you the core pieces of building strong relationships with your friends. You know, building strong relationships, boundaries.
How to be able to advocate, what are good friendship things, and it's just basically
even if I was having a conversation, these are still skills these kids need to know, regardless of whether they're good. Because I had a conversation with a girl today, and I said, honey, you're struggling telling me how you feel. And this is just how you feel, and this is a safe environment. I worry about you one day. Do you have the skills to tell somebody no? And the girl went, and it was, oh, now I get it. And I'm like, I'm not trying to be, but everything goes on everything. You know what I mean? And so they need to know boundaries. They need to know how to say no. They need to say, I feel uncomfortable. Because that really is.
It also talks about, you know, menstrual cycles and things like that.
That's why we're separating the boys and
the girls. The boys and the girls are separated for those who are and so it will be something that our district feels like those conversations need to be had in the home as well. So we're supporting your decision making. We will make sure that the videos and the resources are available. So if you are a parent that says, hey, I'm fine with 5 sessions. I want to have the conversation about menstrual cycles with my daughter. I just don't want her to be with her friends for that session. And so you can make those kind of decisions as well. I, as a teacher, was trained in all of the abstinence curriculum when I was in the Waco area and feel very strongly about choosing the best. It is definitely a curriculum that I'm very glad that our district also decided to adopt it. I've seen some of the other curriculums as well in the district, and I was a lot of people's prom talk right before prom. They had to hear from Mrs. Kate. And so those were tough conversations to have, but I tried to make sure that my kids knew that the decisions that they made that weekend, they wanted to be making sure that their parents and grandparents were proud of them on Monday. So we talked a lot about just their decision making. And so it's a great program. We'll spend a little bit of time perusing, and then we will show you where to go so that you can take a deeper look later as well. So Erica Sadler, how long, what's your role?
I'm a counselor.
And how long have you been in the district?
17 years.
And how long have you been in education?
Too old for me. 24.
Okay.
Yeah, go with your
career. Very good. Thank you, Erica. All right. Thank you all. And last but not least, we have Ms. Tamika Brown. She's going to do the last session here. And again, I told you about the teacher-created materials for our high school. She's going to focus a little bit on the fitness gram and tell us a little bit more about that as well. So go ahead, Ms. Tamika.
Yeah. So the fitness gram is the National Student Fitness Assessment Program, and it was developed by the Cooper Institute so that students would have a way to track their health-related fitness. And it is conducted in OT classes, and it helps them, again, to measure their health-related fitness with a focus on their personal health, even things like their heart and lung health. There are 5 different components that are measured. So the first one is the aerobic capacity, and we use the PACER test for that. So some of you might remember that from when you were in school. And that focuses on, like, distance and pacing, and they're running back and forth, and they have the time beats and things of that nature going on with that. Our PE teacher does use a YouTube video that already has the beats and all that ready to go, so that's what he utilizes when he does the PACER test. They also measure for the muscular strength and endurance. They do the curl-ups and the pull-ups. Sorry, there won't be any demonstration. I never was good at any of that in school. Never. I hated when we had to use time. I could even hold my little body up here. Then for flexibility, they do a stretch test. So he was playing it to me. They kind of go up against the wall and they stoop down and they use a yardstick to see how far out they can stretch, things of that nature. That won't be demonstrated either today. But yes, that's what they do. And then they measure their body composition by taking their weight and their height, so their BMI. Also, once they have completed all of their testing, they are compared to healthy fitness zones in their own age group. So based on the results, they're either considered being in a healthy fitness zone,
needing improvement, or at a health risk. So unfortunately, we hope that that's not the case for any of the students. But what's good about the fitness ground is that it doesn't require any complex or expensive equipment. So we can use things like cones and dart sticks and scales, and it doesn't have to be anything that's very, very complex at all. When they have finished and taken the overall score again, that is data that the teacher can use. And that data can be used to plan their lessons and make sure that they're supporting students with targeted activities based on their results. And so overall, what this program does is provides age-appropriate data for both the students and the teachers so that we can make sure that the students are moving forward towards lifelong health.
Next slide.
Okay, and then they are assessed at the beginning of the year?
Yes, beginning and end of year. So this is how our teacher logs everything. So all the different assessments are across the top, and then their information entered, and then they get their overall score and analyze their overall score from there.
And we do fitness gram in 3rd through 12th grade for kids. It's a requirement that we have to, well, we like doing it because it gives the kids a good idea of where they stand, but it also, the federal government requires us to do it.
So we actually have to turn the data in.
Yes, through Fitness Gram. Fitness Gram partners with the state of Texas. So when we were younger, it was the Presidential Physical Fitness Test, and it's now Fitness Gram.
Maybe I'll try it with an update every year.
There you go.
See how many quotes.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Tamika.
Oh, what is your role at the high school?
I am also the academic coach at the high school, do the same as they do at their campuses. My 3rd year in the district. My 2nd year in the district, my 3rd year as an academic coach. And I've been in education almost 20 years.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Ms. Keith. I'm going to go back to our agenda. And I'm just going to show you a few places so that you have this information at your fingertips after today. So the first thing I want you to see is where to actually find the curriculum, all the YAGs, all the work that academic coaches and Ms. Flingo have been doing. So you have a beautiful picture here of Ms. Flingo
and the lady.
Amber and Tamika. If you scroll to the bottom, and this is required now that we have the curriculum and the syllabi for each of our courses. And so if you just open up each one of these, you're going to see all of our curriculums, not just our PE and health. But you can see here that they've built it out for each campus. And in addition, they have buttons at the bottom for additional curriculum resources that make these supplemental that are in addition to our just gen, like on-level curriculum as well. And so you can see each one has a PE component. So you're looking at each grade span. What I wanted to point out is in the junior high, PE and health is two separate links. So if you click on the PE portion, you're going to get what I keep calling the YAG, the year at a glance, where you're going to see all of the components of their PE curriculum. But if you go to the health side, you're going to see choosing the best. So you're going to be able to see the resources, the curriculum, the parent resources, the training. Our teachers that teach this have to get training in choosing the best. And so Ms. Wingo takes care of that, and she makes sure that if we have any teachers that change, that we have to also get them trained as well. So that's there for you. And when we go into our kind of breakout gallery, I'm going to have Ms. Perez, Ms. Salinas, Ms. Wingo, who else? Ms. Sadler. I think even Ms. Littleton has her computer, so that as we're kind of looking at the resources, we have access to it online as well. And last but not least, I wanted you to see one other location. In our handbook, I know you guys read it, like nightly. Nightly reading? Nightly reading? The handbook?
Twice a day.
Twice a day. So you can see on here, I told you what page 8, shares with us the information about our rights, about our sex ed curriculum. So as a parent, I think it's important that you know it's in our handbook. I know my daughter used to hand me everything and just say, just sign. My son, it didn't even make it home, so, you know. But this is what you're signing, and I want, as a parent, you to know that you will be notified annually. It'll show you the components of the curriculum right here that Ms. Sadler talked about. It will tell you further information. It will also tell you that you can view the curriculum, come up to the school and see the curriculum, and all of the things that we shared tonight in our handbook. All right. We are officially at 5:28. I was trying to get to 5:30 before we do our kind of gallery walk. So what I want you to see is on each of the wall spaces where I could find some room, I have high school, elementary, primary, and junior high. We're going to just do 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, where you're going to have the ability to just peruse the curriculum or what Ms. Schott brought or what Ms. Sadler brought. There's not an order. You don't have to go to junior high and then go clockwise or counterclockwise. I just want you to bounce to anywhere that you're interested, because you as a parent might today say, well, I really just want to see the elementary and the primary because I don't have a need at the junior high and the high school at this time. So feel free to stay at a section for two of the sessions if you want, 2 5-minute sessions. And then at the very end, if you have any questions or you want to give any good feedback, like, hey, I have a question, a wondering, or, hey, this was great, I learned something new today, feel free, there's toolboxes. Well, there's candy here. So if you miss the sign-in, you can always come by. So if you have a burning question or you just want to give, like, I learned something today, you can put it on the poster board, and then at the end we'll wrap up. The academic coaches are here. Ms. Lingo's here. I'm here as well. We also have teachers in the audience today too, that can answer any questions that you might have or anything that we can bring to another meeting. Everybody understand?
Yeah.
5 minutes. Bounce around. Ms. Lingo's got a computer. Go ahead and raise your hand so they know. Ms. Salinas, Ms. Perez, Ms. Sadler, Littleton. So 5 minutes. Bounce around. Anybody want to see that she's in the best? Yes, sir.
They're getting ready. I know they don't want to do it. I
Thank you. Thank you. get done this week.
Ms. Carrillo will go over that with us. There's a survey that we have to fill out that on the curriculum side, and then there is a evaluation that we need to fill out as well. So that will be a big part of our last meeting, and it will be at the last meeting every time that we have our SAC meeting, because it's kind of that same time of the year that we will evaluate those things. So primary, Ms. Schott, will you just kind of tell us what the question is there and if you have any feedback. And if we don't know the answers to these questions, we're just going to say, we don't know. And we will find out the answers for you. So what is the question at the primary?
Is there an SEL component to this, or is it just I wrote my response was yes, there is a unit component on SEL. It's just not very extensive, but there are some resources in there. And so I was just telling the setup right now, as I was like kind of like responding to things. We currently do some of the Stanford Harmony and resources that the professor's given us. And also not just the test, but I want to dig more into that because I think we can tie that into our character class and use some of that to this research so we can. Unfortunately, I don't think we can get to it as much in PE just because our kids are so little and they don't have like the foundational skills that they need to be like sensible and all those things. So I think we can utilize that resource in character.
Okay, and so you have a rotation, a character rotation. So in addition to their PE class, there's another place that the primary students can be working on their social-emotional learning with that character component. Okay, very good. What about the elementary? We have AHA offers free classes. Ms. Littleton, do you want anything else about this? Or I feel like...
I'd like to know who...
I know.
I
do believe that you can share a little bit more about the free classes that are offered for health and PE and CPR.
So the Fizz Part Challenge, I've been doing it for the last 20 years. So at the end of last year, I submitted my daughter. She did, the video profile, and she submitted that application. And she was chosen as a heart survivor to represent my own. So this year, they had decided not to do it. I was able to talk to the principal, so they did still recognize her. And they didn't do the fundraising. So Deanna Stansbury, she's an AHA lady who I guess takes care of the school. She said that they still will, without doing the fundraising, they will still bring the information and do the like the heart healthy stuff with the kids. So I guess like the CPR basics and things like that. That they offer to do that. So if that's something that you guys can consider for next year, so we can still be able to get the information and not have to do it, because I think the fundraising was the thing that kind of put them off and they didn't want to do it because of the So she's like, we don't have to do that. She was like, oh, I
get it.
I don't think they need that education.
So I did let her know that we'll make sure that we get back to Ms. Conover on that. Also, I do think I saw the flyer with your daughter.
It was on the Facebook page.
It was on the Facebook page? Okay, excellent. And so, but to know that it can be separated from the fundraising, I think that was the component of it that maybe was the reason why we chose to go a different direction, and to know that we could still do the educational side of it without asking for the fundraising side. So Ms. Littleton and I will get back with Ms. Conover on that for sure. And then this is so cool. I don't know who put that, but...
I thought the Quaver thing was really cool.
Very good.
I'm fairly familiar with the Quaver stuff for the music side of curriculum. I had no idea they did a PE side, and so I thought that was really... And I also didn't know that we used Quaver music at the elementary, so I was just like, oh, this is so cool. Like, this is, it's a really, really good... they rave about it for elementary music. And so if it's that good for elementary music, I'm really excited for using both music and the PE to help side for elementary kids.
Very good. We're getting them ready for you, sir. That's what we're doing. We're getting them ready for state. Very good. Okay, junior high. We have a recommendation to hyperlink during registration for the sex ed or the sexual health classes. I do think that's a great idea. I worked closely with the PEAMS department since basically you're looking at the PEAMS department right here. And so I'll make sure to get back with Ms. Evans on that and see if that's something that we can do. Ascender sometimes gives us a little bit of a headache. I sometimes do return the sender. So there might not, it might be a custom form, and it may not be as accessibly easy, but that seems like we could do that. But if it's not, then we'll definitely get the feedback back. So even if it's in our handbook
that
or something like
that.
Okay.
That one's addressed in, so it's not one we have to read in 24 pages.
Okay. Well, I'll follow up with Ms. Evans. She is our PEAMS coordinator. And if we can't figure it out, we'll see if Richard Tollett can help us, and we'll get some answers for that. So good idea on the junior high. High school. We have a couple questions here on the high school. Ms. Brown?
Yes. Is it only done the first year students are in PE athletics? It is administered every single year in the PE and athletics classes, so both at the beginning and the end of the school year. And then our students given a plan that is found in the health risk level. So I don't have an answer to that. It's a very good question. Mm-hmm. I don't know that we've identified any students with that rating, but I will get back to you about the state with an answer on that question.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And so because we do the beginning of the year as a baseline and then we do it at the end of the year, I imagine that there are also some recommendations for if there is a student that is at risk, health-wise, some recommendations. So we will find out about that and we'll make sure that we let you guys know if we do that or if maybe it's just done and we didn't know that that can happen too. So any other questions or burning thoughts? Thanks all so much for coming today. Take the candy so that I don't eat it before you leave. And thank you very much. We'll see you on May 6th. All right. We are here. Fiesta!